Please appreciate that. Brother Hall, if you would come. It's good to have Ben and Alyssa here for a few weeks as they're back here kind of gathering their wits before they go back on the road for a little bit. And then, Lord willing, and they have tickets purchased and have made plans to depart at the end of July. We're excited about that and all that God has done. I'm glad that Ben could be here tonight to preach for us. So you open the Word of God in your hearts and allow the Lord to speak through him. Thanks, Ben.
Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Man, it is a blessing to be able to be back here, and thank you so much. Let's see, where do I start? Just thank you so much for taking such good care of us. Appreciate being able to be financially supported, continue to be paid while we're going out on deputation, because there's a lot of different expenses and everything, and I really appreciate that. We're thankful for the house that you have left prepared for the missionaries that come through, and that has been a blessing to be able to be there, and all of the power and the water for our RV. And thank you for, I have had so many of you ask about if we were freezing in our RV. Well, I'll just clarify, we weren't freezing in there. I mean, occasionally our pipes got frozen, and then you get freezing outside to go and get everything thawed back out and working again. But we were doing good in there. I appreciate all your prayers for that. And we are very thankful to be in that house, because the kiddos now have a lot of space to be able to run around in, and we really appreciate that. And it's always it was always so encouraging whenever I sent out an email to the church about where we were at support, and so many of you took the time to respond back to the emails. And I always look forward when I hit send and it goes out, like, oh, I wonder how many people are going to take the time to read it. And I know a lot of you took the time to read it, but you didn't respond back, and thank you, because otherwise my email box would be exploding. So, I'm very thankful for all of you that took the time to be able to let us know that you were praying and all those ways, and that we really are touched by that. And praise the Lord, right now we're at 95% support. And that's just absolutely amazing, because the last update we had sent out, we looked back and I was surprised. I forgot, it felt like it was an eternity ago, but we were at 78% the last time that I had sent out an email. So to be able to see that we're at 95, I'm like, wow, that is really awesome. And I know it is because the prayers of our church that has come to be. And I'm so thankful that it's gone so fast, because otherwise we'd be doing a lot more traveling. And so thank you so much for that. Let's see here. Before we get into the passage, I just need a young man from each one of the five sections in here. And I'd like you just to come up. So decide among yourselves. Just come on up here. Just one young man just to come up from each section. Just come on up here. And I have something that I want you to do. And everybody else, just turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 10. Don't leave Hudson hanging here. There we go. Okay. I'm just going to give something to each one of you, and just give it to somebody else that is in your section. Just give it to somebody else that's in your section, and don't open it up. Okay. Just hold on to it. Just give it to another man. Give it to another man in your section. I should clarify. Sorry. Okay. And everybody else, turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This passage has come up a number of times in my studies, and every time it touches my heart. And I really hope that I can be able to pass along a burden for you, for the souls that are all around us. I really appreciate the special music. That's so good, because that is what Christ values, the souls of men. It's beyond treasure. Your soul is valuable in the sight of God. And in Romans chapter 10, we're going to read from verses 1 to verse 15. And it says here, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousnesses and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that is, the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for the love that you've shown us, that you died on the cross and you made a way for every person to be forgiven of their sins. Lord, you are so good to us, Lord. And I thank you so much for how you've used our church with spreading the gospel. Lord, I just pray that tonight we would be even more surrendered to your will, that we would be yielded to do whatever you want, to send men wherever they need to be sent, and that your name would be glorified through us, Lord, not in our intelligence or our skill or how well we do things, Lord. We're not looking for the glory, Lord. I just pray, Lord, as a church, that we would seek your glory. And pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. The question I believe every soul inwardly asks at some point in life is, who is God? And how do I know I am at peace with God? As we look at the beginning of Romans 10, we see the Jews were working at the task of establishing their own righteousness before God. This had been the story of their entire life, and that they had to keep the law and offer sacrifices to pay for their shortcomings. However, even though Christ paid the entire penalty of their sin in their lifetime, they kept refusing the righteousness of God and holding to their own efforts for salvation. They refused to live by faith and believe that Jesus was God and had paid their full sin penalty. So they went about, as Romans 10:3 says, to establish their own righteousness. If it weren't for the righteousness of God through faith, we would be left with the unending task of working out God's law and ending each day in utter failure. There is a need today to let this world know that they can stop trying to establish their own righteousness. It is impossible. Today, this world needs to put their faith in the righteousness of God, and that faith is available to both the Jews and the Greeks. Amen. It's available to everyone. And this world needs to know that, because as Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. This world is under the wrath of God. Now, I would like each one of you that had one of those papers to stand up and go ahead and stand up right now. Those of you that received the paper. And Brother Joel, I'll start with you. If you can read that paper to your section, read it nice and loud so that they all hear. Brother Williams.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Titus.
10:13.
Thank you.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
I think you need to say it louder. I don't know if they heard it all the way back there. Go ahead. Shout it out nice and loud. Do it again.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Go ahead, brother.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Good. Thank you. Brother Starr.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You may be seated. Isn't that verse incredible? Just think about it. I want that repeated a whole lot of times because that's everyone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we hear about the burden that Paul had for those that are in Israel, for the Israelites. But just so you know, this salvation is offered to everyone. That is what this passage is all about here. Now, tonight, I want to focus on three roadblocks that keep this whosoever from having the opportunity to believe. Because if you take a look at verse 14, which we read, which is right after this verse, it says, "How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Now this message of forgiveness of sins is available to everyone, but there is a roadblock that there are whosoevers that are out here and maybe even here tonight that need to hear that they can be forgiven of their sins. And there are things that are stopping that from happening. First of all, I want you to see one of the roadblocks is hearing. Number one, whosoever, that person needs to hear who God is. If they don't hear, they're not going to be able to believe. If that never enters into their ears. Now, every one of you that heard the verses being read, if you hadn't heard that verse at some point in your life, you would not know that you can be forgiven. Imagine never hearing that verse that whosoever, that you could be forgiven of your sins. Imagine that. But there are people that are out there that have never heard that they could be forgiven of their sins. Aren't you thankful that somebody told you? Can you imagine how different your present life would be and your future would be if you never heard whosoever will? Are people hearing the word of God from you? They need to hear the word of God. That's what they need to hear more than anything else. I appreciated in our prayer time that we have, Brother Wolf said he does not believe it's truly witnessing unless a person has heard a verse of scripture. And I think that stuck in my mind. That is a good application right there. And, you know, that is how this world is going to know who Jesus is. That is what this world needs to hear. They don't need to hear your own intelligence or your own ability of being able to, reason through life. They need to hear the words of God. As John 17:17 says, "Thy word, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." God's word is truth. And the devil, he is busy attacking the word of God, trying to stop it in certain countries, such as China and others, from hearing the word of God. He's corrupted our Bible version and tried to put other things out there, other Bibles, I don't know for a better term, but other Bibles out there to be able to confuse people. What is truth? And so they read one thing and then another and say, "Oh, there's so many different versions, you know, that who can know about what truth is?" But the reality is we do know what truth is. We know the truth is in the Word of God, God's Word that we have here. And that even though the devil is busy at attacking it and causing it to be confusing, we know that we have the truth and we can be able to share that to others. Amen. There are many different religious groups that are out there and saying that they have the truth. And that, but then they clarify that you also need to have their other books too in order to be able to truly understand what the truth is. But today, you have the truth in your hands. And what people need to hear more than anything else is God's word. Are they hearing it from you? If you take a look at Acts chapter 8, just hold your finger in Romans because we'll be staying in here. But Acts chapter 8, and we'll read verses 30 to 35. We see Philip here speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch here. God went and sent him over here to run alongside this chariot. And it says in verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest this prophet? Speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That is how a person is going to know the truth today. They're going to hear it from the word of God. Is your mouth proclaiming the word of God? They need to hear in the place where they are located, wherever they're at. We can't just expect to go and stay in this building and think that, well, if they're going to want to hear the truth, then they're going to come to me, okay? And they'll hear the truth at this location, okay? We have a TV program, and that's putting stuff out there. And so, you know, surely people will end up saying, oh, I want to come over to that church and be able to hear the truth. No, that is not the responsibility. Though I believe if they're going to seek, you know, that is an opportunity that is laid before them to be able to seek after Christ. But we need to say, I'm not going to wait for them to get within earshot, but I am going to go to them and tell them and let them hear the words of Christ. And that's what we need to do. We need to go where they are at. We need to go from house to house. We need to speak the word publicly. The word of God needs to be brought to the uttermost parts of the earth. As you know, in Acts 1:8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Aren't we thankful that somebody decided not to stay in Jerusalem? There was people that left from where they were at and spread the gospel out, and it kept on spreading and spreading. And we sometimes take that for granted, that we have the truth, and we think that somehow everybody else is going to get that. But we are thankful when other people have shared the truth with us, and other people are going to be thankful when we share the truth with them. It is our responsibility to go out and share the gospel with this world. They need to hear it with the power of the Spirit of God. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, God's word has power. But if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, and God is not directing our thoughts, I don't know if it's possible for the word of God to return void, but you know, I don't know if it's going to have the power that it can if you are not filled with the Spirit of God. Are you preparing yourself in your time with God, in your studies, so that when you do speak for God, that your words are not empty and are void of the power of God? Just think about Peter for this example. In Acts, you don't have to turn over here, but Acts chapter 4:13, it was noted that Peter. Yeah, this is the verse I need to recall. in this verse, it was noted that Peter and the apostles had been with Jesus. Okay? It was not, there was a noted difference from the way that Peter was before and the way that he was now. He was filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He was filled with the words of God, and he was speaking boldly. And how about Stephen when he was being stoned? Now, you might think in that story, well, everybody stoned him. That was the end of his life. So I don't know about this idea of being spirit-filled because it could end up being my death. You know, it is possible. But still in that, they heard. They heard the truth. I mean, I can't imagine how amazing that must have been as he was seeing God.
Amen.
And how his face glowed as he was speaking forth the words that God wanted him to say. And we don't know. There could have been people that were listening besides the people that were stoning him that were convicted in their heart. And, you know, I think it's possible that was some of those words that Stephen said spoke to Paul's life and was used in his salvation as well and was part of what brought him to his knees. But we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Actually, and I should say here in Paul, Paul says in Acts 20, 26, and 27, "Wherefore I take you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And so Paul, he had preached everywhere with the Spirit of God upon him. And that's what the Spirit of God is going to cause you to do. It's going to cause you to shun not to proclaim the gospel to every person. And you know what? They need to hear it. This world needs to hear it verbally as well, too. I like technology. You all know I like technology. You know, I love, Facebook advertising type of things. I love being able to put videos and be able to have people be able to see those things. And I love being able to create messages and be able to send them out digitally. But you know what? There is no substitute for speaking for Christ.
Amen.
And hiding in your closet and, you know, doing all technology things. You know, for me, that's a lot more comfortable. It's even worked for me to come up here and be able to speak in front of y'all today. But you know what? This is important. And I would rather inconvenience myself, get out of my comfort zone and be able to speak the words of Christ than to be where I'm comfortable and not please God. Today, people need to hear the words of God. And also, I saw the emails that were going out recently with the prayer and fasting in regards to Allentown. And I appreciated even Rudy had noted about desiring to learn Spanish, you know, because people need to hear the word of God in their own language. It's sad sometimes when you go to a door. Just recalling a door that I was on visitation with yesterday, and the guy spoke Spanish, didn't understand a word of English at all. And Jeff and I were there, and all I could do is give him the Spanish tracts and say, "Read this, Espanol," and have him read that. People in this area have so many different languages, and we ought to inconvenience ourselves to learn a language just so that they can be able to hear the gospel.
Amen.
Okay? Don't rely on the fact that maybe somebody is going to come and get saved and join our church that naturally speaks that language and say, "Good, that's why God went and brought them into here, so that they can be able to reach those people that speak that language." No, if God is burdening your heart for a certain people group, you ought to put some effort into causing them to have the ability to be able to hear. And I need to keep on going here, otherwise I'm never going to get out of this first point. But it is important that we convene ourselves. There are Spanish people. There are people that speak English. That's what we're doing. When I go over to Thailand, there are Thai people. There are people that speak Chinese. And that is where we are going to be, where I need to learn that language in order to be able to communicate to them. There's even was amazing to me as well, and I know some of you are able to do sign language and speak with deaf people. There was a man that I met that was going to be a missionary to, I think, the deaf people in Brazil, I think I remember. And he was saying how many hundreds of thousands of people were in this community, all in that area. That blew me away that he was learning sign language and their special type of sign language to be able to bring the gospel to them. Everybody needs to hear. Obviously, they cannot hear, but they can be communicated to. And that's what we need to do. To everybody in this world needs to hear. If they don't hear, they won't be able to believe. Now, also in this passage here in verse 14, it says, how shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, all these things seem very obvious, very redundant, but you know, it is pretty obvious, okay? Now, and those of you that received those messages by those five guys that came up here to be able to hand them out, if somebody from your section had not come up here and brought that message back to you, obviously you heard from the other groups here because we're not that far apart. But if they had not brought that message to your group, you wouldn't know what verse that the Bible was being read. You wouldn't know that the Bible was being read at all. You would know nothing of what was going on here unless somebody had came to you and went and delivered that message. And there are people all across the world in our Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world that need people to be sent from our church to go out and to bring the gospel to them, because otherwise they will be one of those whosoevers that never hear, that never know the truth. Now, first of all, I want you to see that this preacher is going to be a man. Okay? Now, in Luke 16:27, you don't have to turn over there. I'll just read it to you for sake of time. Okay, this is talking about Lazarus and the rich man. Okay, it says, Then he said, the rich man, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now today, the way that God works in this world is by sending men from our churches out into this world to be able to share the gospel. We would like for it to be maybe something that is supernatural, somebody coming from the dead, you know, some kind of amazing miracle that's going to happen. And we think that is going to be a more convincing way to cause people to turn from their sins and to hear who God is. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world. God has chosen us to be the ones to go and preach the gospel. God has chosen us. A preacher, this messenger, needs to be passionate for souls. In Romans 9, verse 3, it says, Paul was saying, for I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen according to the flesh. And as we read in Romans 10, verse 1, which you could look at that with me, it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He had a burden for his people of Israel. And you know, he was talking about in this passage here how the Israel had refused and how they were told time and time again about the gospel. But still, he didn't just give up on them and say, you know what, they deserve what's coming to them. They deserve for their hearts to be hardened. They deserve to be, you know, embarrassed by this gospel now being shed abroad to everybody else and the Gentiles accepting it for them. They deserve what's coming to them. No, his heart was burdened for them. And also, if you take a look, you don't have to turn this passage. Sorry, I'm just going to keep on going for the sake of time here because I still have a few things I would like to be able to preach tonight. But in Acts 17:60, it says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, the Spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." And then it talks about he disputed with them and he shared with them the gospel. His spirit was stirred in them. Have you taken the time to be able to go to other parts in this world or even down the street, not for the sake of entertainment or being able to enjoy the sights or something, but to see people and allow your heart to be stirred? I mean, you think about the country and Simon Jacobs, he was saying he wants to be able to have he opened the invitation for men to be able to come over and to be able to see the need. That there's needs all over this world.
Right.
And I would encourage you to take the time to go to some of these fields for the purpose of letting your heart be stirred. And maybe God's not going to send you to that same field that you go to, but God may cause your eyes to be open and realize, wow, this world's a lot bigger than my neighborhood. And there are people all over that don't hear the gospel. And God may just use a trip like that to speak to your heart. And so allow your heart to be stirred by those that are around you. And Jesus himself, when he was here, and you know, he sees the entire world. He came to die for our sins. But if you take a look at Matthew 9:30-6, when it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep not having a shepherd. He saw these people and he saw that they were hopeless. Mm-hmm. Today, we need to see people not as our business partners or as somebody that's going to do a service job on our house or somebody that could meet whatever need that we have, but as somebody who Christ died for.
Amen.
As somebody who is a whosoever that needs to hear the gospel so that they will repent. A preacher surrenders his will to God. I love there was this quote that I heard recently from a man that had a missions group come over to where he was at. And he asked them when they came, "What did it cost you to come and serve?" You know, for a lot of them, it was just a missions trip. You know, that maybe their parents had paid for, or other people. And he asked them, "What did it cost you to come?" And I think many times, it doesn't cost us very much to serve God. And we end up serving God as long as it's in the budget. But today, there are some souls that will only be reached if you are willing to surrender your comforts.
That's right.
What have you surrendered for the will of God today? It was even touched on this morning. What have you surrendered to do the will of God? Or is it only when it's convenient? If I have enough time in my schedule, then I will go out on visitation. If I have enough time, if I have enough money, obviously, you're not to go into debt. You know, you don't want to violate one principle for another. But, you know, if you have money and you feel that you want to be able to go and see another mission field, you know, and you're trying to decide, okay, do I spend the money to be able to buy this entertainment, something for my house, something that I really like? Or am I going to decide to forfeit that comfort for the sake of being burdened for somebody's soul?
Amen. That's good.
Today, what does it cost you to serve Christ? Have you counted the cost for surrendering to the will of God? Christ left all the glory of heaven and humbled himself to the will of the Father to pay our debt for our forgiveness. And he looked for the glory that would follow. And this life isn't all that we are to be living for. This life is very temporary. We need to choose that we are going to look for the glory that's going to follow. The glory of being able to cast crowns before Christ's feet. The glory of being able to see people who would have been going to hell, but now in heaven. That's glorious. That's wonderful if we can be able to be a part in sharing the gospel with somebody in that way. Today, are you surrendering all areas of your life in that way? Matthew was a tax collector. He no doubt surrendered his whatever money that he was making. Most likely it was a good sum of money in order to be able to serve God. Peter, he left his fishing and his family in order to be able to follow Christ. Samuel, he went and he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And he allowed his will to be surrendered to God. "What do you want me to do, Lord?" And how about Isaiah, when he surrendered to God and said, "Here am I, send me." Today, are you surrendered to the will of God, or only if it is convenient for you? A preacher, he verbally speaks God's word. A preacher communicates God's word to this world. Let's jump on down here. And let me just also just mention, okay, a preacher stands in the gap. You know, in Ezekiel 22:30, it says, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." And I just want to emphasize tonight also that for this to, it is not commonplace to find people that are willing to surrender their will for the will of God. It takes a lot of work. There are not many people that are willing to be able to give all. And because there are not men who are willing to give all, then there are whosoevers that are going to hell because of those men who are choosing the comforts of this life than to stand in the gap and to be what God wants them to be. Today, I just want you all to realize there has to be men that are coming from here. If no men surrender to the will of God, then that verse right there of reaching, that this is one of those roadblocks. If there is no men that surrender, then those whosoevers will never hear the gospel. If the gospel is not preached, if it is not spoken verbally, if it is not communicated to people, that's a roadblock. The gospel will not go any further. That whosoever will not be saved. And now, lastly, I want you to see whosoever needs God to send that preacher. Because it says, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." These are glad tidings that we are bringing forth. And, you know, God wants us as a church. This is our responsibility. This commission was given to our church to reach our Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. This is our responsibility. This is not just something that is a Lone Ranger type of responsibility where somebody one day wakes up and decides, you know what, I think I'm going to be a preacher over to this place. I'm just going to go ahead and go. No, this is a responsibility that the church has. Now, obviously, as our church, this does not negate the responsibility of reaching our Jerusalem and say, well, I'm not one of the sent ones, so, you know, I'm not going. No, that this is why our church is here. We are to be a light of the gospel around this world, around this area. But we are also to be sending men to the areas that we're not a church on the move. We're not moving the church over to a new location. We're sending men out to be able to cause the gospel to go out everywhere. Sending preachers is done with the authority of God. The prophets were sent with a specific messages to specific people. Judges were sent with specific messages and specific tasks. Churches were given the authority by God to send out preachers equipped with the words of God. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. That is what we're to do. In Acts 13:2, it says, as they ministered Paul and Barnabas to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. This is, God did not just end up having Paul and Barnabas go and just send them out, and you know, the next day they weren't there for services. Okay, this was something where the church made the decision. This is what God wants. We need to send them out to go and to reach these people, and so that is what we are to be doing.
Amen.
Now, sending preachers as a church is also, it ought to be an answer to prayer. It ought to be an answer to prayer whenever we see a young man commit to be surrendered to the will of God. It ought to be an answer to prayer when we see that man go out to be able to preach the gospel to people who need to hear. That ought to be an answer to prayer, because it says here in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That was Christ saying that. And then right after that, he went and sent out those 70 out and to be able to prepare his way. And it said, that verse is just incredible. It says, pray ye therefore. This doesn't just happen. That this is something, you know, we're talking about prayer this year and focusing on looking for God to do specific things in our church, to be able to see God do great things. And this is a prayer that Jesus told them to pray. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. This is something we can pray. And when we see somebody leave and we send them off to another area, whether that's in our Judea, Samaria, or the uttermost parts of the world, wherever it is, that is an answer to prayer. That is something that we want to see God do. And I want to encourage you to not be content with, you know, right now we have, I'll be the sixth missionary that will be out there on the field. But our church has been around for 40 years. Six kind of sounds like a small number. We ought to be sending a lot more men out.
Amen.
And I believe we have many men that are preparing to go and maybe are already prepared to go already. But we ought to be praying that God would direct us and would burden their hearts and lead the way to be able to say, we're going to send you out here. And yeah, you know, it's a kind of a sad thing, you know, to be able to pray for those to go. You know, it is, I'm glad to be able to go over to Thailand, but I will miss our church here. But this is what God wants.
Amen.
We ought to all be surrendered in that way.
Amen.
And to be praying. What I mean is to be praying for God to send more people out to be able to start churches in all these parts of the world.
Amen.
Sending preachers is the cry of the whosoever's in this world. You think about Cornelius. And Peter came to him, and when it brought the gospel, he was praying that somebody would bring the gospel to him. You think about the cry, the Macedonian cry, where that man was saying, come to Macedonia and help us. You know, there are cries from all across this world for whosoever's that need somebody with the truth to be able to bring the gospel to them and to be able to share that with them. There's cries from all over. There's whosoever's all over that need to hear the gospel. And this verse right here, it ends in that way where it says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they hear?
How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? All these things need to happen so that a person can believe. If there are not men that are being trained, it's not going to happen. If the word of God is not being shared in this Jerusalem, then they're not going to hear. If the church is not sending out more men into the fields to be able to see churches started and the process continued on, those whosoevers will never hear the gospel. As you see all the different countries during the offering and such, and you see the millions of people that are there, that there are so many people that need to hear the gospel. I mean, it just blows my mind, you know, when we're going to be reaching out to those Chinese people that are in our area. But just to look at the country above, you know, to look at China right above us, 1.3 billion people. That's four times the population of the United States. That is an insane amount of people. Just think about how many of them and all of these other countries that are out there have not heard this verse. They have not heard verse 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They don't know who to call upon. They don't know the truth. They've never heard. Nobody's been sent to them. No, the churches aren't preparing to send people out. Today, this is our responsibility. We ought to be praying fervently that God would send men out from this church so that whosoever, anybody, will be able to hear the gospel, and so they can be able to have the choice whether they are going to repent of their sins. You know, there's other thoughts here, but I would like to just end it with that. And, you know, what I would like to have you all do right now, if you're able to, I would like you all to come up to the front of the auditorium, and let's pray that God would send forth laborers. If you could all stand up right now. If you're able to. If you're not able to, please just stay in your chairs. But come on up to the front. Let's come up to the altar. And let's just kneel. And I'm going to give you 2 minutes here just to pray to God that he would send forth laborers, and then I will pray afterwards. Dear Lord, we love you. Love you, and we are so thankful for the love that you've shown us. Lord, if you did not give all and come to this world to die for our sins, Lord, we would be without hope. And Lord, as a church, we are burdened for the souls that are all around. We don't want to just stay here and die and stand before you and have the blood of those souls on our hands, Lord. Lord, we want to be used by you. We want to be the ones that cause others to hear the gospel. Lord, the fields truly, as you said, are white unto harvest. There are so many people that have never heard that they can call upon you and be forgiven of their sin. And Lord, as a church, we just pray to you and ask you, please use us. Please send forth men from this church. Pray, Lord, that we would, our hearts would be touched as we see souls all around us. That as we see them, Lord, I pray that especially this week, this month, as we're focusing on missions, Lord, that it would break our hearts, that we would go home and cry and say, Lord, they need to hear who you are. Lord, you've given us the truth, and we are so thankful. But Lord, I pray that we would not hide the truth, but we would proclaim it openly. I pray, Lord, you would use our church to be able to send forth men, Lord. Please, Lord, please use us. Lord, I pray you would call men in this church that to be yielded and to be surrendered, to go out and to share the gospel to the nations beyond and to our Jerusalem and Judea's, Lord. I just pray that you call now. I pray that, Lord, I don't know how to say it any differently, but Lord, I just pray you would use us. I pray we would not put up any of these roadblocks for you being able to cause the gospel to go forth. I pray, Lord, that we would all be yielded to you. I pray you would forgive us of our sin that would stop us from being used by you. And I just pray that you would be glorified through us. We don't seek the glory. We just ask that you would be glorified, and just we want to be a tool for you. I pray this on our behalf, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor, you can all bet your seats.
Amen. As you make your way back to your places, we've been challenged tonight.